My name's Sean Collier. I'm joined for the first time by our podcast sister, Marta Mazzoni. Hi, Marta.
Hi, guys. How you doing? This is Marta. Thanks, Sean, for having me on.
Thanks for coming. We are going to talk all about Suicide Squad, and we are going to preview Marta's next episode with a fantastic, oh my God, how did you make this happen guest that our listeners will be particularly interested in. Someone from Suicide Squad. Someone from Stranger Things. What?
David Harbour.
We're going to talk about that so that you listen to Marta's episode on Sunday. But for today, Suicide Squad, this week on You Can't Handle the Truth.
And now, it's You Can't Handle the Truth. Honest reviews of the newest movies. Part of the Epicast Network. Hear more great podcasts at epicast.tv.
It is You Can't Handle the Truth for Friday, August 5th, 2016. Hey, happy Suicide Squad. We've been talking about it all year. Just hoping that it would be better than Batman, and you skipped Batman and Superman, correct?
Oh, I totally did. And I felt like it's been longer than a year for Suicide Squad.
Yeah, oh no, this has been a topic of debate for quite some time.
Forever.
And it's here, and it was good.
It was good.
Yeah.
It was good. For all of those
Jump
listening.
To the end.
Yeah, it was good. I have much to say about it, but
right.
The end result is... Mm-hmm. It was good. I didn't know that it was 3D. Are they all in 3D? Or is it just the ones that we saw?
No, everything. I can't think of a DC or Marvel that... I can't think of the last one that wasn't in 3D. They just know they can make a little bit more money that way.
I am not a 3D advocate. I will say, I'm not a fan. But I found myself forgetting halfway through the movie that it was 3D because I enjoyed it that much.
That's good for this movie, but that's a sign that it's not necessary. Unless you're there going, wow, that was cool how they did that with the 3D, then it was pointless.
And it wasn't like Planet Earth.
Right.
Or something jumping out at me ride.
Something recently played with that more. And now I can't even think what... Like there was something in 3D recently where things were jumping out enough to make me go, oh, okay. But yeah, for the most part, it's just, hey, we can charge an extra $3 or $4 if it's... And hey, that's fine.
I know. It's not my thing. I don't know. I thought the movie would have held up without it, even just as well.
Okay.
Just as well.
Before we get into breaking it down point by point, I'm sure many people have heard Marta on the Move, because it's advertised on this show and does very... Yeah, because that's really where you get all of your traction, is people bouncing over. No, pitch your podcast for any of our listeners who have not ventured out into the Epicast family.
Hello, listeners. I am Marta Mazzoni. I host a podcast called Marta on the Move. I feature interesting people and places in Pittsburgh surrounding areas, travel advice, pop culture, and general nerdery is my main goal, to bring you entertainment. And I basically just talk about things I find entertaining and that I love.
We're going to get to next week's or Sunday's episode in extra butter, but you had a really cool one last week, too.
I did. I was nerding out about last week.
Sure.
Really badly. So I got to interview the co-founder of Atlas Obscura, which is a website, more like a community, that travels and finds all of these crazy-ass places. Am I allowed to swear on this podcast?
Yes.
Oh, good. These crazy-ass places all over the world, like Gates of Hell and the Bleeding Falls. And all of these places
exist. Those are not Dungeons & Dragons.
No.
Locations. Those are two real places in the world.
They are real places. And Atlas Obscura makes it their goal to find those places and highlight them and feature them and tell you about them. And I couldn't not be in love with them. So I scored an interview with the co-founder, Dylan Thuris, and it was awesome.
go back and look in the archives, too, because if you listen to You Can't Handle the Truth, you know all about Aaron Kleiber's man crush on Patrick Wilson.
Wait, he does?
Oh, he's obsessed.
Are you kidding?
He thinks he's so great because Aaron is way, way into the horror director James Wan. And so Patrick Wilson is in all
the Conjuring.
Insidious and Conjuring. Or is he in Insidious? Am I making
yes,
it up?
Yes, no, he is. He's in both.
He's in Insidious and The Conjuring. And you talked to him while Fargo was going on?
Yes, it was right after he wrapped Fargo. He was in town because his alma mater is Carnegie Mellon.
Yeah.
So he came back into town to direct The Full Monty, which he actually starred on Broadway and was nominated for a Tony. And I was so lucky to talk to him, and I was armpit sweating and very nervous while I was talking to him, but it, all in all, it turned out to be a great and wonderful interview because he's awesome.
And he's cool.
He is so cool.
And you got Alec Baldwin one day, too.
I did get Alec Baldwin.
See, that's... Marta's good at this, guys. And we'll talk more about that with Stranger Things later, but like, that's, yeah, it's, again, the power of just trying is beautiful. So congratulations.
Thank you.
On all of your success.
Thank
Go listen
you.
To Marta on the Move. So, Suicide Squad, okay, we've complained endlessly about the bad qualities of the DC universe so far, and most of them are not in Suicide Squad. For the first hour, maybe even hour and change, this was just pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
It,
I agree.
It borrowed from Deadpool a little bit.
Definitely.
It borrowed from Marvel a little bit, but they just did a good job of introducing all of these characters and keeping it moving.
They kept it moving, but they didn't rush it.
Right.
They introduced the characters in such a way that you actually cared about their backstories.
Yes. And they threw a couple in later, but they ended up not being as important. And it that was fun. Like, getting, you know, a vignette on each of these villains was just a fun thing to watch on a movie. And then it didn't, you know, when we meet the Joker and figure out why he's here, and when we figure out what the problem is going to be, who the villains are, which I won't spoil, it doesn't take 45 minutes setting each of those points up like Batman v Superman did.
Oh, Jared Leto.
He was great.
He was great. You know what? I had no doubt that he would be great. Even though I am one of those many, many people that grew up crushing on him so, so hard.
What'd you think? Did you see Dallas Buyers Club?
I did.
He won the
Oscar. Oh my goodness. Mm-hmm. He's incredibly talented. There's no doubt about that. But I grew up in the very my so-called life era. My first major boyfriend was based off of Jordan Catalano, so
you picked the most Jordan Catalano looking guy around.
You know what? Wasn't even that I picked him. It was just more like I gravitated towards that.
Right.
I was just like, oh dear God, you semi sort of not really look like Jordan Catalano, and I can get down with that.
And he didn't go away. He went and just did the band for a long time.
He did the band for a long time. He did a lot of movies. He did Fight Club. He was Mr.
Yeah.
Blonde. And then he did Son of Sam.
Okay.
Where he put
right.
on a ton of weight.
Right.
And then he disappeared.
Yeah. It wasn't like, oh yeah, he's great and he's always been, you know, a lot of people who had a role like that when they were very young. Like last week we did an episode on Bourne, whatever it is. Jason
oh, yeah.
Bourne.
Yeah.
And like Julia Stiles, sort of similar vibe. It's like, oh, she actually can't act at all. She's not any good. So when he came back, like, oh, by the way, Jared Leto is a fantastic actor. It was like, really?
Yeah.
But it was interesting in this that is, okay, it was an original interpretation of the character.
Definitely.
This is a new and different Joker,
mm-hmm.
but it's a post Heath Ledger Joker.
Yes. And I think a lot of people were nervous about that and resisting it.
Yeah.
But I have to say, so before we met up, I went into Barnes & Noble and I love comic books. So I was looking at all of the Suicide comic books that came out and they're really good. Okay. I stood there probably about a half hour reading one about Harlequin and the Joker, Mr. J, and they've almost taken a lot of the new ones look like. They're starting to look more angular, look more like Jared Leto in the new ones, and I think people are really accepting of it now, especially since he did such a great job.
He did a great job, but it's interesting to see the Heath Ledger thing where it's like, okay, you know, Jack Nicholson's Joker
is iconic and no one can touch it.
Is iconic
let's drop
and wonderful
it.
and perfect. But like, that was a take on what we knew the Joker to be up until then.
Yes.
And this one is a take on the Joker that Heath Ledger invented. It really, like, this is not, this doesn't exist with, this character doesn't exist without the Dark Knight Joker. This is, okay, now we understand the Joker to be like this, so that's what we're playing off of. It's not the Joker that was in the last Batman video game, or the animated Joker. This is, okay, the last guy to do this was Heath Ledger. This is a take on that. A very good one.
He did. He reminded me of Heath Ledger, but I have to say, I grew up watching Batman the Animated Series.
Sure.
And he reminded me a lot of Mark Hamill's Joker.
Ah.
He had a playfulness.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit of a playfulness to him that Heath Ledger didn't have as much of.
Right.
But regardless, they both played these wonderful Jokers.
And Mark Hamill is disappointing people as the Joker. No one is disappointed in Mark Hamill. But that movie is supposed to be bad. The other one that's out right now.
Which one?
The animated one. The Killing Joke?
The Killing Joke? Well, they should have never made it into a movie.
That's what I keep hearing.
It's a great comic book. If you haven't read The Killing Joke, it is wonderful and phenomenal and dark and twisted and gorgeous, but I don't think they should have turned that into an animated thing.
I know I don't know too many people who have seen it. Almost all of them are just profoundly disappointed, but not like surprised. Like, yeah, I didn't think it was going to work, and it didn't.
There's things you can get away with. I feel there's darker things that you can get away with in a comic book that you can't quite get away with in an animated movie.
Sure.
Like, your brain twists it, your brain goes dark, and, you know, it's just a flash on a page, but in a movie they have to paint it, and it's just not gonna work.
Margot Robbie was really good, too.
Oh, she was really good.
She did exactly what I expected, which was to be that character that we know, but give her more, like, humanity and more
backstory,
and just like levels of personality that's not constantly just quipping and goofy and but like to really make you feel. The thing that bothered me was I felt like it was her movie, but there wasn't faith in Harley to carry a movie, so they really ramped up Deadshot to kind of make them carry it together.
Yes.
And Will Smith did a good job.
He did.
And that character was fine.
That character was fine. He added some definite star levity to the movie and some definite almost heart to, you know, the fallen heroes. But in terms of Margot Robbie, she embodied Batman the Animated Series Harlequin for me. She looks identical to that freaking cartoon, and it is weird.
And you see her briefly in the black and red thing, and it's whoa.
Oh, you look like exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Like your head is shaped the same.
Yeah, your head, your mouth, the way you smile, your teeth. Mm-hmm. Nobody has cartoon teeth like that. I mean, she was good.
And I just wanted it to, you know, I mean, my complaints are pretty minor, but one of them is I just wanted it to be
her story.
Her story exclusively. And we get a glimpse, you know, and we still get those backstories. We still, you know, like Diablo's backstory was at the exact right level. Like, I learned who he is and cared about him as a character.
And that's good.
I wanted to take Deadshot down to that level and have Harley get the biggest chunk and be the focal point of most of those conversations. And she just had to share with Will Smith and...
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course she did. Because otherwise it would have been her movie instead of, like, the squad.
Yeah.
But I think I can solve your problem.
Okay. Go ahead.
So you're going to have to go into Barnes & Noble, and you are going to have to go to the middle aisle where they have the comic books set out.
Mm-hmm.
And 80% of the Suicide comic books are all about Harlequin.
Oh, good.
All of them. And it's fascinating because they all look different.
Okay.
They're all different people's artist interpretation.
Huh.
It's really cool.
I have...
you're going to love it.
About 10,000 pages of comic books on my dining room table right now. I haven't read.
All
right. So, but I'll get one of those and put it to the top of the pile. Because that's the biggest endorsement is after a good Marvel movie... I often go, oh, I want to pick up some of these and learn more about the characters. I've never had that with a DC movie until now.
After
Suicide Squad, I'm like, yeah, I want to go buy some of those.
Can we talk about the soundtrack?
Yeah.
I really liked it. I thought...
Okay.
I liked it.
All right.
Because here's the thing. I thought they brought back songs that I think that most people in any other movie... would be considered retired and old, but they worked for this movie.
Yes.
Like some Eminem, you know, of course Queen is like my favorite band of all time, but just some music that really I thought played well.
I agree with you half the time.
Give me the other half.
Because it's just quantity. It's just that happened like 20 times, right? So there were like 20 moments where it was a really iconic song that's been in 100 movies, and if they had done that 10 times, each one of them would be like, oh, this is a nice twist, and then it's like, God, how many movies is Dirty Deeds Done Dirt Cheap in? It was in a preview to a different movie we saw tonight.
Was it really?
Yeah, it was in the preview for the War Dogs Miles Teller movie.
Was it really? Did I miss that?
It's just... Like, if you do that a couple times, it's reclaiming it, exactly what you're saying. I just thought it was a little like, oh, you're the 5,000th movie with the Spirit in the Sky scene? Cool.
See, I like the Eminem song.
No, that was good. That was what I really liked.
That's really? I thought that song was dead for all movies.
And I like the when Bohemian Rhapsody came in, which we won't spoil, but that was perfect.
We're not going to spoil that. They put it in the trailer, but, you know.
I agree with the general point, just liked it. It was maybe a little much.
Yeah, they used it well.
Yeah.
They used it well.
And the only, like, ragging on DC I will do, and we have to dance around this to not get into big spoilers, but the one thing we complain about a whole lot is every superhero movie just has to be about... Oh, if we don't win, it's the end of the world.
Oh, I know.
And that happens here.
Yeah, we're not going to spoil it, but yes.
And that's where it kind of...
The world is ending.
It kind of slows down in a major, major way.
They don't need it.
It just becomes everything else. And even like halfway through, there are lots of interesting moments where the characters are trying to reconcile, like, we don't actually want to help. We're being forced... You know, wrestling with self-interest versus... And then by the end, it's just, yep, here are the Avengers, only different. Here's the Justice League, only different. And it's
the team movies that are coming out, I know.
It's just more of the same at the end. And just does completely turn into now they have to save the world all on their own. Like every other... This was such a big opportunity. Like Deadpool did successfully... to just make it a self-contained story.
So good.
And they had the gumption to do that for an hour 15, and then thought, nah, we got to do what we always do.
No, I'm with you on that. I'm actually pretty tired of superheroes at this point. I know that sounds terrible.
No, it's okay.
But I'm so done with the spin-offs and the... the Netflix series and the thing. And I know people are like, boo, Marta, boo. But I'm just, I feel like it's getting overused.
Yeah.
It's getting really overused, and it's not special anymore to me.
No, our mutual friend Liz, hi Liz, is always on me because I haven't watched Jessica Jones or Daredevil. And it's like, look, if I limit it to, you know, if I limit my Marvel pictures, like not books, but like if I limit that to the two or three times a year that they put out a movie, I'll pretty reliably be able to get pumped for it every time.
Yes.
But if you add in
all of it
at once, it's just like I'm not that interested.
No.
I really like what Marvel's done, and Marvel is doing a good job of like rotating in new characters and making me care about them. The quality is usually really, really high. DC is mostly failing. But yeah, there's a saturation point with anything unless you're just that obsessed.
No, I just get tired of it.
Yeah.
You know, but this movie was very refreshing. I loved all of the characters in it.
Right.
I have to say, of the actors.
Have you skipped most of this I mean, there is nothing. It's this.
Yeah, there's
Batman
not a lot.
Superman and Man of Steel is the whole universe.
I saw Man of Steel. I wasn't a huge fan.
No.
Batman versus Superman, I just couldn't.
You heard everyone in the world talking about how terrible it was?
Or? No, I'd made a decision before anybody came out not to see it. I just can't.
That's fine.
I have, yeah.
You saved yourself some trouble.
I figured
yeah.
I did.
Yeah.
I figured I did.
But this is definitely the best of those three. It's something that's worth seeing. I don't think it's something that a lot of people would be disappointed by. And I'm still not... this isn't a spoiler. This sets up the Justice League movie. Didn't get me pumped for the Justice League movie,
no.
but like, do I want to see some of these characters again? Yeah. Like, do I hope that Jared Leto's Joker and Margot Robbie are back?
Yes.
Yeah, sure.
They are the two characters that I took from this movie that I would like to see again, along with Khal Drogo from Game of Thrones, who's coming back.
I'm not a Game of Thrones. Wait, who is he?
It's everybody's, all the women.
Yeah.
Maybe the men, too, are freaking out about Khal Drogo, the character. I don't know his name, but he is going to be in Justice League.
Oh.
He is coming. He's...
Wait, as Aquaman?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that guy.
Oh, yeah.
That guy.
That guy.
Okay, right.
There's so many memes about him, it's not even funny.
Mm-hmm.
We got a lot of memes out there.
There was what I thought was an unexpected cameo in this, but you told me it was in a preview and I just didn't know about it.
What is?
I don't want to spoil, but there was one DC character that I went, oh, that guy's
oh,
here.
The Flash.
What, we already knew that?
Yeah, he's
okay.
In a preview.
Ah, never mind that.
Yeah. I mean, how many characters have been the Flash in so many movies?
Mm-hmm.
But this is the guy, and I can't bring his name to the forefront of my mind.
Oh, crap.
But he's in...
Perks of Being a Wallflower.
Yes. Very talented.
Yeah.
Very, very talented up-and-coming actor. And he is the Flash in Justice League, which I'm excited to see him in.
Ordinarily, we look names up, but I'm recording on my phone. And Marta is so comfortable right now.
I'm laying down.
She has taken over the champagne room.
I have. I'm actually just chasing it up.
Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to make her look that up. But you know the guy we're talking about.
Yeah.
The one who plays the Flash. You know him.
You know him.
The last thing before we take a break, the one of the little internet flaps, like I feel like a whole year ago, was... is Harley Quinn going to be inappropriately sexualized? And tricky, because the character sexualizes herself.
Yes.
That's very...
That's her.
It's just... I mean, did you feel that there was... Were you bothered by anything about Harley or how Harley was treated?
No.
It's,
whatsoever.
Yeah.
Because that is Harlequin's character.
Right.
Harlequin is like, ooh, look at this outfit. I'm gonna wear it. This is my body. I am who I am. I'm crazy. Whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, she looked good. She looked
yeah.
exactly, honestly, she looked like, verbatim, she looked like Batman the Animated Series Harlequin.
Honestly, the only thing like that that bugged me, how do I do this without doing spoilers, is another, is the presence of a bad character who was like a evil magical character and she was given like a you know bikini thing and constantly doing like hip twirling sexy
motions. What was that?
And kissing people to turn them into monsters. It's like okay, maybe that was not the way to go.
I was not down with the undulations of her hips. They just didn't work. I don't know why they were there.
It looked like an Xbox.
From years ago.
Blatant over-sexualization thing. But Harley, yeah, it was just
Harley, character. That's her character.
You can, and look, if you want to talk about the ways in which that character is problematic on the page, we can have that conversation, but in terms of did this movie treat her badly? No, not at all. Other than I wish, you know, she was more carefully the lead, but even at that, she still kind of was.
She was.
In the Joker thing is a big part of it. Yeah, Deadshot was about there, but I think that the movie spent more time on Harley than anyone else, right?
For sure. Yeah. Yes. I felt that way as well. I felt it was her flag. What is his name? Oh my god, in the show.
Joel Kinnaman.
He's like one shot.
Deadshot.
Okay. Thank you. I wanted to say one shot so badly.
One shot.
Deadpool. But that's just incorrectly. And the Joker and Jared Leto.
Yeah.
I felt like those characters were highly represented.
Yeah.
The rest of them were there and they added great
moments.
Moments, yes.
Yeah.
But
Killer
the rest
Croc,
of them,
fine. No. His name can't have been Captain Boomerang. I'm making that up, right?
I think so.
That's not who, the Australian guy.
Yep.
And Katana.
Yep.
And,
oh, Katana was awesome.
Yeah,
I really want her mask.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah. We'll talk more about masks after the break, too. And Diablo was good. Diablo got much more of a backstory than I thought he would, and that was good.
Yeah, he was good. I liked him.
We'll rate it at the end. But right now we're going to take a break for another word from the Epicast Network. Hey, maybe it'll be from Marta on the Move. Who knows? Buzzy, if you're listening, now would be a good time to sub in that ad. We'll be right back.
Hey guys, this is Marta from Marta on the Move. I hope you're enjoying this podcast. When you're done with this one, you should go check out mine on www.martaonthemove.com. On the Epicast Network, you can find me on Twitter at @ICan'tFindMarta. If you like interesting people and places in Pittsburgh, food and drink, travel advice, and general nerdery, check it out and keep it moving.
And we're back. Quick shout out to our sponsor, Goods and Evil. Aaron talks about them all the time. They make the best movie shirts, nerd shirts, vegan shirts. Hey, you like Friday the 13th? You like Evil Dead? You like all kinds of awesome movies? Go to goodsandevil.com. Use the offer code HANDLE. That's the middle word, and you can't handle the truth. And you will get some a nice discount on your order. I just did the quick version because we have lots of other things to talk about.
You do. And I love the Evil Dead. You mentioned the Evil Dead.
Yeah.
I'm like, aw.
Yeah.
Aw.
Referenced in Stranger Things. Hey, segue.
Oh, man.
Man. First of all, again, you can't spoil it because I have one episode to go. I know I promised listeners I would be done last week, and I'm not even done this week. So don't tell me about the end. I feel at 7 episodes, I can already share memes.
You better.
I've shared some choice wall writing memes already.
You have to finish it.
No, I'm
before Sunday. You have to finish it.
Yes, I certainly will. So, in the middle of Stranger Things mania, Marta just was like, "I'll try to get somebody from the show on the podcast," and didn't even have that much trouble. Like, just... You didn't... I assume you didn't go for Winona Ryder.
I didn't go for Winona, but you know what? You're next.
Right.
No, I'm just... I would love to get Winona on the show.
Right. Look, the interview... Marta on the Move featuring David Harbour, who is the police chief in Stranger Things.
Yep, chief.
And is Chief Hopper.
Yep.
And is in Suicide Squad, by the way, tie-in.
Perfect.
And he's, you know, he jumps in with a funny deadpan line every now and then.
Yes.
He doesn't have a very big part. He's kind of the suit underneath Viola Davis's character. But, yeah, that's happening on the Epicast Network on Sunday because you talked to him today.
I did talk to him today.
And just for, look, I'm sure we have listeners who are podcasters themselves, are writers who wouldn't mind interviewing awesome people. It's inspiring, like, the ease with which this can happen sometimes. So take people through. I think people think that you have to, like, be a member of the podcasting union to get this stuff to happen. Just explain how simple it is to make this happen.
You know what? It's... I told you earlier today when we went out for sushi and sake, because I was celebrating. It was a good day.
Well, you should.
It was a great day. One of my best friend's moms, Adele Sales, told me once after college, she said, the worst that they could say is no. So...
Life lesson.
Yeah.
This week's life lesson.
Right? I took that to heart. I really did. And I said to myself, if I'm a good person and I put out positive vibes, that I think that I would get positive people as well to gravitate towards me, and I'm just going to email some people, because I am obsessed with Stranger Things. I think the show is beyond good. I think it's perfection in this day and age when everybody says that every show is good. And then you watch it and you're like, yeah, you know, it was good. It wasn't great. It was good. It was missing this, 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 and this, and this, and this, and this. But
the thing that gets me more than anything is how strong it was instantly. There are plenty of shows with a good first episode. Sure, that's, you know, that's how people want to hook you. But this is 8 episodes, first season.
Done.
And it's from 5 minutes in, you're like, yes,
I'm
absolutely.
In.
And it, there's, I can't think of a scene, even in Breaking Bad or The Sopranos or, you know, anything I love, even in Twin Peaks, there are plot threads that I don't care about. There's not a second of Stranger Things that's dispensable. If I look down at my phone, I rewind it.
Everything in the show, you can tell that the creators did, knowing that they wanted it a certain way and that they weren't going to sacrifice quality.
Yes.
They sent you on a journey back into your childhood. If you are a child of the 80s, it sends you back there. There is no question. But then it throws a monster at you.
Right.
And but not even just the show sends you back. The font, the music.
Right.
The kids that don't look like manicured children.
No.
Starved to death. They look like normal kids.
Yeah.
The whole show is incredible. And I'm very lucky. I'm just extremely lucky to talk to David. He was incredible. He was just...
But
I
cut you off. So this just happened because you sent an email.
It happened because I sent an email, and I had about a half hour long conversation with him, and we talked. Spoiler alerts for what happens, what he thinks will happen possibly in the next season.
Wow.
If there's going to be a next season, I made him do a BuzzFeed quiz of what character he is on the show.
We will not spoil what the answer was, but I love what happened.
Yeah, it's good.
I'll say this. It wasn't himself.
No, it was not himself.
Mm-hmm.
It was not him.
Yeah.
But he was very generous with his time. And honestly, it felt like I was talking to, from the moment I got on Skype with him, it felt like I was talking to an old friend.
That's amazing.
And it's refreshing because you see the show and you see these people on screen and you're like, you know what, that guy, he can't be as cool as he is. Like you have this idea in your head, and then you talk to him and he's like amazing and just a normal human being that is awesome.
That is coming out this Sunday on the Epicast Network. What's your normal website?
www.martaonthemove.com.
And anywhere you get your podcasts, of course, just like this show or any. There could be like, you could have scoops in there. I mean.
Oh, there's things.
See,
I didn't tell you things we talked about.
This is going to be lighting up the message boards and
pretty good.
Facebook communities and the subreddit. This is going to get big on the Stranger Things Reddit.
I don't know if it will, but even if it doesn't, I'm going to hold it dear because it is like...
But it's so
exciting.
It's so
for me.
The show is so new that it's not like these people are everywhere yet. It's not like you're seeing interview with him or interview with, you know, the kids. I thought I was like, if she gets 11, oh my god, I'm going to lose my mind if she interviews that child.
You want me to reach out to her?
Millie
Bobby Brown.
Did you hear? I think I'm not going to repeat it because I think we've said this on the show. But do you know her backstory?
No.
Okay, then if Aaron said, I can't remember if Aaron said this on the show or just to me. So if I'm repeating an episode from 2 weeks ago, I'm sorry. She's been acting for like a couple of years, has never taken a class, is completely untrained.
11?
11.
Whoa.
She just one day went to her parents and was like, hey, I might want to be an actor. And they took her to one of those, like, cattle call open, like, bring your child for modeling. And, like, a couple people got a look at her and they were like, and, like, had a read or whatever. And they were like, will you come out to L.A.? And, like, within months she was on Once Upon a Time on ABC.
She was on Once Upon a Time.
And now
Her.
No training of any kind, just one day was like, hey mom, hey dad,
so
I want to be an actress.
That's funny. David talks in our conversation how he saw the screen testing for these kids.
Yeah.
And he was like, they brought him in. They were like, these are the kids that we're screening for the show. What do you think?
Yeah.
And he was like, boom.
Right.
Like, done.
Oh, the cast is so perfect.
It is. It makes you, like, kind of makes your heart hurt a little bit.
Yeah.
Because it makes you want to go back to those days and have, like, that strong-knit crew.
Oh, okay. I mean, I didn't, so.
I didn't either. That's why it makes me want to go back.
You want to go back and correct.
Yeah,
I
live, like, in the boonies with my brother and my sister. I didn't have, like, a bunch of kids riding bikes. I look at it and I'm like, come on, yeah.
If you love, this is odd, if you are a comics person, have you read Paper Girls?
No.
Paper Girls is so similar in plot to Stranger Things. And, like, I'm sure it's complete coincidence, but Paper Girls started, like, 6-8 months ago, and it's so similar in plot that, like, now I think it can never be converted into a movie or TV show because it will just look like it's ripping off Stranger Things.
Oh, I'm going to have to look this up.
It's a crew of like, 11, 12-year-old girls, like, newspaper delivery, paper girls.
Okay.
Who, like, on Halloween night discover that, like, extra-dimensional aliens are coming into town. And so it's very, very similar.
Very similar,
But really, really good, too. It's one of the writers from Saga. If you love Stranger Things, that's something else.
To check it out.
But yeah, listen to that interview. We're all very jealous. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And just before we go, like, as much as you feel like... talk about our Saturday night, because that was awesome.
Saturday.
Yeah.
So this past Saturday, me and my friend Greg Manley threw
It was with the City of Play in Pittsburgh.
Does City of Play in Pittsburgh, cityofplay.org, and we threw an immersive theater experience for people. So we had. All of these, each person in charge of the crew had to put together an experience for the evening. I was Mistress of Spices. It was...
excellent performance.
Thank you.
Very effective, emotional moments with the Mistress of Spices.
You know what? I got a lot out of it as well. But it was a very awesome event that... people that attended, such as Sean, would really appreciate. We set up all of these different nooks and crannies for people to investigate and indulge in, and also linked them into the other experiences so that they could have an interactive play.
Yeah, and it was, this was not simply a theater thing. This was a party.
Yes.
This was a... masquerade.
Yes.
So I enjoy wearing a masquerade mask, by the way. I was definitely the last person there still wearing a mask.
You wore your mask until 4 a.m.
I did. It works for me, apparently. but this was a fantastic party at one of the most beautiful, weird houses I've ever seen.
Yes.
And it was, you know, you'd go and talk to your friends and have a drink for an hour, and then you would go to the basement and take a journey into your own heart. And then you would go and drink for another hour, and then...
You'd
get a letter inviting you to join the Mistress of Spices upstairs for some emotions. And this just went on. This was... It was scheduled till dawn.
Yes.
And almost made it.
It almost made it. About 4 a.m., it almost made it.
I think I got in an Uber at 4:15.
Yeah, that's
after
about right.
After being just obnoxiously drunk for a good hour there at the end. Just, I remember my volume was turned way the hell up
for
the last
fine.
Hour or so. So thanks for putting up with that.
No, it was wonderful. I even the next day, the Mistress of Spices shined through.
Yeah.
I had a bunch of people message me thanking me for their experience.
Mm-hmm.
And then I pretty much spent the whole day. My husband, Phil, was like, we need to get stuff done today. And I was like, okay. And then I literally spent, I want to say, about 4 hours just writing with my new quill. And I had
yeah.
a candle lit, so she lived on.
I spent the next day sleeping and feeling awful. I got up because friends had invited me for waffles, and I made that happen. And that
Eggos?
No, like homemade. They just got married, and they have a new waffle maker. No, I wasn't just eating cold Eggos out of the box in the woods. But I made that happen and then just went and lay down. But it's the thing that now, if you heard that and thought, how can I get in? You probably can't. This may not happen again. And if it does, it was very invite kind of a thing. But the cool thing about it to me is it was like, oh, if you like go crazy all out for, you know, just something that you want to do with your friends, you can make awesome stuff happen.
Yeah.
It was like, you know, how many parties do you go to that like all the effort is in like cupcakes?
Man. We worked really hard.
And you guys put days of effort into making an experience.
We did.
And there needs to be more of that in the world.
There does. You know, I have to admit, I don't know, a lot of people that listen to my podcast are like probably saying, wow, Marta's really into immersive theater, because I feel like the last five I've mentioned immersive theater, but
yeah,
I really love it.
I keep doing it too.
Yeah, I
like,
love it.
I've talked about Serpentine on this podcast six times, and you know, just because I love it so much. Like, even after it was over, just... And Anne Tercera, who we mention all the time, was involved in this party as well.
Yes. Yeah, Anne from Uncumber Theatrics was part of the crew that put it together, and we had a wonderful time playing together. And it was just a delightful experience to get to be an actor on the other side of the immersive theater experience. I always go to these events being a player.
Yeah.
But I've never gotten to be the person on the other side that sets the stage for someone else. And mm-hmm. that was very fulfilling for me.
That was great. Your podcast will be great. Stranger Things was great. Suicide Squad, good.
It was good.
Give it a rating.
I thought it was great. I thought, a rating? I'm going to give it a 6.9.
Okay. That's healthy.
Yep.
I would go... I have to... It sounds like overpraise, but I have to consider... No, 7 is about right. I was about to say 8. That might be giving it a little bit too much credit, because it did get pretty pedestrian at the end.
At the end. The whole... Yeah, you know.
But if you were... You know, I know a lot of people are waiting for it. If you are afraid, as I was afraid that I was going to come in with a lot of hype and just mm-hmm. be bored like I was during Superman. No, it's a fun time at the theater.
Oh, it's very entertaining.
All right. You have other things to plug? We plugged your podcast pretty extensively.
Thank you so much.
You still have Mistress of Spices on you.
Do I? I know. My tattoos are still on me. Yeah. And my ink is still like in between my nail beds.
I was just wearing a mask.
I got into it.
I had a card in my pocket.
I went pretty deep.
Yeah. Which Stranger Things character were you? I haven't taken the quiz yet because I haven't finished.
I was Steve.
Really?
I was, but you know
How did you feel about that?
At first, I was like, what? What the hell? Mm-hmm. I'm Steve. But then they gave me the description of it. And it's funny that you say that because David, when I told him what I was, he was like, you're Steve? And I was like... I was like, yeah, but I'm going to tell you the same thing I told him. The thing that I like about being Steve was that he was the character that surprised me the most.
Ah.
He was the character that was had all of these different facets to him.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny because when I took the quiz and they gave me my description back, they were like, you are Steve. People think they know you just by judging you like a book judges, you know, its cover, but you're very complex inside.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, you have great hair.
Okay.
That's exactly what my...
There you go. I haven't taken the quiz yet. I just know that I already know that I'm Barb. Like there's not...
Oh, you're going to have to take it
if
now.
If you look at my... If you look at me, maybe not me today. But Barb is my teenage years. Just, like, really loyal, but, like, unpopular and kind of lame. Like,
oh, that was
like,
me.
I feel bad. I feel very bad about Barb because I'm like, you're the character. That's cool, too. You're the character that's supposed to be utterly unaffected because you're so lame that you were just at home when shit was going down.
But you died.
You didn't transgress.
Yeah.
And you just were sitting sad on the diving board.
Yes.
And horrible... Wait. I mean, those are we just spoiled a little bit of Stranger Things.
You can write spoilers on this.
Okay.
Mine's a spoiler on Sunday. Warning people, Sunday is spoilers.
That wasn't
major
massive.
Spoilers.
Really, I mean, if you've been on Facebook, you know what happens to Barb.
Exactly.
Like, that's going around
exactly.
a lot.
Exactly. There's art all over the place for Barb.
Barb, look, look, fine. We've spoiled it, so we will dedicate this episode to Barb's memory.
Thanks for listening to You Can't Handle the Truth. Find your hosts on Twitter
at Sean Collier, PGH,
and at Aaron Kleiber. That's Kleiber, Kleiber. And follow us at Epicast TV. Head to www.epicast.tv for more great podcasts on the Epicast Network. You can email feedback to handlethetruthpodcast@gmail.com.